Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Fit Chicks Chat. My name's Laura Jackson, and on today's episode, we have the amazing Dr. Carolyn Mercer. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Laura. Thanks for having me. I'm
so pumped to have you on.
Awesome.
So obviously a lot of you guys listening or watching this don't know me, but I actually know Dr. Carolyn because I've taken courses with her before and she's so incredible. So I asked her if she'd come on here and share her expert knowledge about PCOS.
Yeah. Laura was an awesome student.
Oh, thank you. I'm like a course junkie though. Like I'm currently right now on this, like I'm not allowed to take any more courses. I just have to focus on business stuff, which is so hard for me.
Yeah, it can be a challenge. You always want to learn more.
I know. So before we get into, we're talking about PCOS today, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. But before we jump into that, and this is something I think if you are a woman, which is essentially most people who listen to our podcast, this is definitely one you do not want to miss because this could be an aha moment for a lot of things that are happening in your life right now. But I'd love to just know a little bit more, share a little bit more about your story. So how you got into becoming a naturopathic doctor, how you felt like this was your calling and what you really kind of specialize in.
I actually did not know about naturopathy. I grew up in a family. My dad was a science teacher. My mother worked at the hospital. Some of my extended family actually owned a pharmacy, which is kind of ironic.
So yeah, seriously.
So I grew up actually, you know, working a little bit in the pharmacy as my part-time job. So just always encouraged to be in the health industry. And I saw a lot of people around me that were not well. I just always wondered, like, what else is there out there aside from just pharmaceuticals? And I guess because I had direct firsthand exposure to, you know, how people were with meds and what the medical system was all about, I also saw that there were a lot of unsuccessful cases. And it just made me question, you know, how, you know, even at a young age, how does our mindset affect our health? I remember reading books on psychology when I was a teenager, which seems kind of weird, but maybe it was a sign that, you know,
I was on that path. I was reading self-help books. I still love them.
I used to love self-help when I was 16 or 17, which is kind of strange. But again, I think it was, you know, I was on that path. And I actually, you know, I did a science degree, biology and psychology. I went to Wilfrid Laurier. I actually had no desire to go into regular medicine, but I knew I wanted to do some type of counseling. And I really had an interest in mental health and wellness. So when I finished my degree, I actually started researching different programs that were available, you know, with my background. And that is actually when I found out about naturopathy, just by doing research. And I actually didn't know anyone that was a naturopath. And you know, as Oprah likes to say, it was that aha moment when I said, what is this naturopath thing? I was like, that's what I want to do. And that's the first time in my life I'd actually known what I wanted to do.
It's like the stars aligned.
The stars aligned, yes. And yeah, here I am, I guess it's, you know, including school, it's about 15 years later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's a challenging path, but it's also very rewarding. I've learned a lot and, you realize how much everything's really connected, you know, your mindset, your physical health, your nutrition, just even your sleep patterns, hormones. You know, so it's important just to educate people to address all of these aspects.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's why I felt connected to you right away. And obviously where I met you was in holistic nutrition school.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I totally felt the same way growing up, my whole time growing up too. I always felt there was such a connection, not like also between, like, you know, nature and us and the people and us and all these things that because I was, you know, grew up in a very mainstream family too, you know, we weren't, you know, woo-woo or kind of into like the hippie stuff that a lot of people still associate this with, which it's not.
Right.
I like the science-based stuff too. And that's why when I started to really see that there was science to back all this stuff up, I was like, wow, like same thing. I shouldn't say my next thing. I don't have time to do it, but I actually would love to go into the same stuff you're doing.
Like, yeah. No, I, you know, and I've been really fortunate. I've had some really awesome opportunities. So, you know, currently, so I have my own private practice where I see the traditional clients with weight loss issues, you know, hormone imbalances. I have seen some fertility clients, which is always exciting to work with, digestive issues, but I've also been working with another clinic where we focus on chronic immune imbalances and actually customizing therapeutics for them based on their chemistry. So, and again, I, you know, sometimes it's just, sometimes you have some opportunities, so, which has been great. So, yeah.
So amazing. So, okay. So today, I mean, I could talk to you about 50 million different topics, but what I really wanted to talk about, and this is the reason why I want to talk about this too, is I find this topic is so misunderstood. And I find there's a lot of women that I know too, who are dealing with PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, and going to their doctors and being told that the only way for them to manage this is to go on birth control. And they might be at a place in their life where they're trying to have children. They're just frustrated because it's like, they can't, they're not conceiving because of, you know, either being on birth control or because of the PCOS. They're gaining weight. They're getting hair in places they never, they don't know what's going on.
They
feel so bad. And I can't remember the stat that I read, but like 75% of women could have PCOS. Like, it was something insane.
And it's not really a cut and try diagnosis either. So, you know, you hear PCOS, which stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome, but just because you have PCOS, it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll have cysts, you know, on your ovaries, for example. So it's based on a set of symptoms as opposed to, for example, if you had diabetes, you'd have a certain blood sugar level. It's not a cut and dry diagnosis. So some women are misdiagnosed for years and have problems with fertility. So
for anyone who's listening, who's like, I've heard of this, I don't even know what it really is. What is it? Like, what is PCOS?
Yeah. So what is PCOS? So PCOS stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome. So, you know, which means that traditionally, people with this set of symptoms do have cysts on their ovaries, but not in all cases. Usually PCOS refers to a hormone imbalance that's happening in the body. So, you know, usually, in these, you'll get certain symptoms associated with hormone imbalance. So you might have irregular periods. So, you know, which would make it difficult for you to be fertile, for example. People might have more acne. I have friends with PCOS. They usually have a lot of hair growth because they have a lot of extra hormone called testosterone. So they usually get hair growth, you know, in places that they don't want. And it can be, you know, I know people where they have to go for hair treatments every week because their hormones are out of control. Like it can actually really affect your whole lifestyle. So
for sure. Yeah. So if you were going to go to the doctors and you just say, you know, they find out that you have these cysts, and excuse me, I know it's not just as I choke. I know it's not just, you know, one cyst. It could be like little clusters, isn't it? Little clusters.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It can be little clusters. Yeah.
My ear went down the wrong hole.
That's okay.
But they're not cancerous. They're just basically like, are they blocking the egg from coming? Are they blocking the egg from getting to where it needs to be? Like what's going on in there?
So usually there's, like I said, a hormone imbalance is happening. So usually women tend to have, in PCOS, they tend to have increased levels of testosterone and increased levels of estrogen. And we need enough in our body. You know, we have estrogen and progesterone, which typically balance out how our cycle regulates. So usually when women have more estrogen, they'll tend to get more cysts, you know, on their ovaries. And usually what we call estrogen dominance is something that's going to be really prevalent. And usually most women in today's society have too much estrogen and not enough progesterone to balance out how your hormones should be cycling every month. And one of the side effects of having too much estrogen is because estrogen is a precursor to testosterone, you know, we end up having more test because we have so much estrogen, your body says, well, you have so much estrogen, so let's just shunt this and make it into testosterone. So you have more testosterone than you need. So you start to develop more male characteristics. You know, you start to get more male hair growth. If you do have PCOS, you can really go into bodybuilding because you'll have more testosterone. So you're going to be able to build muscle really easily. Mm-hmm. But that's not always what women are looking for all the time. But again, if we have these hormone imbalances, it's going to be more difficult for you to have children. Your periods might be irregular. You might have more acne, not just the teenage acne because this hormone imbalance continues forever. And just another piece that we haven't really mentioned is that, you know, with PCOS, oftentimes people will have problems with their insulin and blood sugars as well. So with that, weight gain can become a real problem.
And that's something, I mean, there's so many things I want to talk about this whole topic with you. Because that's something too, that when we get into talking about like managing lifestyle and diet changes, but that's why I know even one of my clients, she didn't even know she had PCOS because it's very hard. And a lot of times, like you said, misdiagnosed. Mm-hmm. So for her, one of her major things was when she went on a very low glycemic diet, she saw huge changes. Like once her blood sugar started to regulate more.
Absolutely.
Then she started finding like her symptoms reduced. And then eventually she did end up getting pregnant.
And I would say probably most of the research around PCOS, while if you start to regulate your blood sugars and your insulin starts to balance out, it's also going to affect your other hormones. So you're going to see good results. And yeah, you might have a better chance of getting pregnant. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and this is where it's like you just said at the beginning, you were so fascinated with the way it all ties together, right? Like it's not just like, okay, deal with the PCOS. It's like, what are all these other things that you can deal with that then are going to help with all these other things that eventually, you know what I mean? Like you have longer term body. I always call it the body imbalance. Because that's really like the goal, right? It's not just about weight loss. It's not just about getting pregnant. It's not just about, you know, getting more regular periods. It's about having that balance.
Yeah. And if you're balanced all the time, ideally, then you should be able to do whatever your body needs to do.
Yeah.
Whether it be pregnant, have enough energy to get through your days. It's not going to be difficult to lose weight. So it's a sign, but it's unfortunate because PCOS, sometimes people are just, it's sort of something people are born with, right? There's not really a reason why someone has it and someone doesn't. It could just run in your family line.
And this is what I wanted to ask you, because I know when I first heard about it, I thought it was something that just happened like after puberty, after, you know, getting menstruation, but then looking deeper into it, like you said, like you can be born with it and it shows up in different ways growing up.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like I said, there's two major hormones we look at when we're looking at the cycles. So estrogen, and progesterone. Mm-hmm. And like I said, estrogen tends to make more testosterone, which gives you the hair growth. But if we have a lot of estrogen, it might be something innate in our chemistry, in our family lines. Sometimes it can be influenced by exposure to estrogens in our environment. But yeah, sometimes it's something that's innate in our system. And that's probably if we figured out why some women produce more estrogen in their bodies, then we'd be billionaires.
Yeah. Well, I always remember, but I can't remember the quote. It's something that was in Chinese medicine. Maybe you know it, but it was talking about essentially like dealing with a woman is like a man, there's like one treatment, essentially a woman, it's like 5 billion different ways to deal with the same issue. Like our bodies are so complex and what's happening within our bodies, there's no rhyme or reason for a lot of things. Like, and just, I don't know. That's why I think I've always been so fascinated with women's health, is because it's so many different, like this web of things that all affect each other. And
absolutely.
Some stuff are genetic and some stuff aren't. So that being said though, like, if you have this since birth, so PCOS, I never really, you don't get cured from it in a sense, right?
Like no.
You just either manage it.
You're managing it, yeah. And, you know, and I think probably like the big thing, you know, the way it's going to affect people where they're concerned is they might have difficulty losing weight, especially if you're in the fitness industry, because when your body produces more estrogen, estrogen tends to be held up in our fat cells. So it's very difficult for us to let go of that extra weight because that extra estrogen will be stored in those fat cells. So, so people are going to start gaining weight. If we have more estrogen in our body, it's also going to affect our thyroid. So our metabolism might, it might not be affected in our 20s and 30s, but in our 40s and 50s, you might develop a slower thyroid function, which can again affect metabolism and affect your weight. So
that being said, then if somebody is like starting to see these, like some of these symptoms that we talked about, like the weight gain, blood sugar imbalances, hair growth, like how do they get tested to find out if they have this, or is there a way they actually test for it?
So generally, what they're going to do is you probably would be referred to a gynecologist, and they would actually do an ultrasound, of your ovaries just to see if there are any cysts. They would probably do a gynecological exam. And like I said, because, insulin and blood sugars are really affected, you know, affect PCOS, they're also probably going to look at your fasting blood glucose levels, because we do know that by influencing the sugars, it can actually have an impact positively on the hormones as well. So those are probably some of the main things that they would test. And, you know, they would just look for extra hair growth in unwanted places, if the person has acne. So those are the main things that you'd probably be looking at.
But, and this is one of the things though, that I don't know in your experience, but like I said, with my client, and I've recommended out to a lot of naturopathic doctors because the majority of people I know who go to their doctors and they say you have PCOS right away, their first line of defense is either, birth control.
Yeah.
Or, metformin.
Yes. Metformin. Yeah. Which helps balance the blood sugar. Yeah.
Yeah. And we see a lot of diabetics taking that as well, but it also has a lot of side effects to it too.
So,
you know, this is where I think that there's a lot of frustration, especially with the fertility side of it. Right. Cause like if you are trying to get pregnant, going on birth control, it kind of counteracts. And I actually, like I also had a student in our fitness and nutrition expert program. She called me and she was so upset because she had just felt so frustrated, and her boyfriend were eventually going to start trying. But she's like, I feel like it's a lost cause. But she's like, I also, and this is what I love that she said, she's like, I also just, my gut tells me there's something else that I can do. And that was something that when, you know, when you were talking about your story of getting into this industry and even mine, a lot of times too, it's always from, you know, a personal health issue or stuff you see in your environment that you're like, this doesn't feel right.
And I think, exactly.
Yeah. And I think we kind of lost that art of trusting our gut, or like questioning, you know, that doesn't make sense to me. And that was my thing always, like things my doctor, I'm horrible though. Like I believe that there is a place for doctors. I'm not saying they're bad.
Of course.
But I've had a lot of doctors that I've questioned and changed doctors because like this just doesn't make sense to me. I don't just want to go on a prescription drug. You know, so for her, she ended up actually too going to a naturopathic doctor, doing herbs, supplements, balancing blood sugar too. She did something else. I can't remember what it was. I think it was a lot to do with like meditation, deep breathing, just to really,
because
her cortisol was out of whack too, which obviously plays into all of this.
And that was one thing we haven't mentioned is how stress affects, you know, the sex hormones too. So, you know, if we're more stressed, you know, we get increased production of cortisol, and usually that robs us of our progesterone. So again, we get that estrogen dominance picture. So de-stressing, bring the cortisol levels down, and indirectly it's going to have an effect on your hormones. That's why when women, they get so stressed when they're trying to have a baby. Yeah. And then after they just say, you know what, I'm just going to let it be. Then they get pregnant on their own.
It's so true. It's so true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. So then speaking of that, then we talked about some of the options for treatment, like mainstream, which are the birth control and
Birth control, ironically, you know, like I said, sometimes one of the side effects of birth control is infertility, which is kind of interesting. So
I still, for me personally, like I've tried to go on birth control in my teens, and I almost see it as a blessing in disguise, because for me, as soon as you mess with my hormones in any way, my body goes crazy. So I tried a ton of different birth controls because I thought that's what I was supposed to go on. But I also questioned, why is my body reacting this way? And I either went from gaining a ton of weight and having super heavy periods to not having my period and being super depressed. And it was all these crazy symptoms.
Right.
But that's where I know there's pros and cons to everything, but I just always encourage people to really question whether birth control is the way for them.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, for the average person, if they don't, if fertility isn't a goal for them, then, you know, they're going to say, well, it's easy for me to take birth control, because for the majority of people, it's going to work for them. And then it's sort of a problem that's not there, even because they don't see it. But the problem does become, like, once you're on this birth control for 10 years, your body becomes used to it and you get on autopilot with your hormones. So all of a sudden you say, okay, time's ticking. It's 30. I'm 30 and now I want to have a baby. So now I'm going to go off this birth control that I've been on for 10 years. And all of a sudden my cycles aren't regulated. So it takes you just a few months to adjust to getting off the birth control. And then you're starting to deal with all the hormone imbalances at an organic level. So, you know, some of the side effects of birth control can actually be weight gain as well. Acne, mood swings, irregular bleeding. So there are a lot of side effects to being on birth control as well. So,
yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't want to get on my big PSA for birth control, but I think it's something that a lot of times is not talked about enough in mainstream, of like the pros of not being on birth control. And there are other options.
And I mean, I think if you go to, you know, the public health nurse at any university, I mean, they do their due diligence. But, you know, a lot of girls in high school and university are going to choose birth control as an option without being educated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just find lately, I don't know, kind of going off topic a little bit, but I just got a Fitbit recently. And I don't know if you've ever used a Fitbit, but there's an option on it where it actually will track your cycle and will tell you your fertile days. And it also tracks your sleep and it tracks your exercise and water and all.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yes. Yeah.
But it's even interesting watching my sleep cycles, which of course also affect what's going on in the body. But then really now understanding a lot more of my cycle, because I think that's one thing, you know, a lot of women, we're never taught what really happens in our body when what hormones are elevated at what times of the month, why we feel certain ways at certain times in the month. Like, I think that there could be a lot of like, I'm not crazy alleviated by explaining these things.
Yeah. So instead of going on birth control, they could do a family planning course just so they understand how the estrogen, the progesterone cycles in the body. But, and especially for fertility, I mean, in PCOS, women tend to be deficient in progesterone. And we know that progesterone is really critical for ovulation. So if you can't produce those eggs, you know, and you're progesterone deficient, then it's going to be very difficult for you to get pregnant. So, and this progesterone deficiency can happen for a few reasons. Number one, you're really stressed, your blood sugars are imbalanced, or you have too much estrogen in your body. So we've got to figure out ways to boost up that progesterone to sort of help, like you said, manage the situation. It's always something you're going to be managing. So,
yeah. So, okay. So those three things that you just said, so stress.
Yeah.
So right there. So if we're trying to manage our PCOS naturally, so stress management, number one. So what could be things that you would recommend for someone to do?
Well, I would just say, you know, I'm a big believer in nature walks as well. I notice a difference because I live in the city. When I go out and walk in nature, it's just like my levels just dial down a lot more than even if I went for a bike ride in the city or something. Because we're lowering that stress hormone called cortisol, and when we lower those cortisol or those stress hormones, then our body can produce progesterone a lot more efficiently.
Yeah, because when we have elevated levels of cortisol, it blocks. Like it basically robs.
Cortisol, sometimes some hormones make other hormones. So we need cortisol to build progesterone, we need progesterone to build cortisol. So, you know, if there's an increased demand for cortisol because we're always stressed, we're in that fight or flight state, then our body's going to say, we need more cortisol. So it's going to use all that extra progesterone to produce cortisol. So we don't have enough progesterone to help balance our female hormone cycles or to help with ovulation. So yeah, so bringing down the stress levels.
That was one of my favorite, I still remember from our class.
Yeah.
I remember you drawing that chart of progesterone here, cortisol here, and like the whole, that's the stuff I find really fascinating. Like to me, it's like when things are being stolen from things or imbalanced from other things, because you start to really see again, you know, a lot of people do not even think that stress has anything to do with their ovaries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm someone who's like, I just need to make sense of this. And when you say it like that, it's like, okay, that totally makes sense to me. Now I understand the connection, right?
Right, right.
So that
I read it in a magazine, and it's, you know, it's interesting. I always find it interesting too, because you know that stress affects your health, but you know, why does stress affect your blood pressure? Why does stress affect this? But there's always a physiological response in the body. So
I personally, like, this is my personal opinion, not necessarily backed by any, there's science to back some of it, but like my personal opinion is I think that stress is like our biggest devil right now to deal with. Like I think,
absolutely,
you know, everyone's still focused on things like smoking, or they say sitting is the new smoking. I think stress is the thing, and stress and mental health. And that's why, I mean, I could have you on to talk about a million other things, but
yeah,
you know, we're becoming so disconnected with computers, and we have too much screen time and too much on our plates, right? Like, it's, you and I were talking right before we started. Yeah. You know, I'm doing this, and I want to do this, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, hey, you know, it's okay to take a moment to breathe.
It's true.
And
I just, you know, and I think even putting it into your day, like I tend to, just for myself personally, like I usually take about 20 minutes in the morning where I have a bit of quiet, reflective time. And I think it's just, it really puts me in a better headspace for the day.
Me too. It's funny you say that, because I'm the same way. Like some people, you know, when I run a business, and when you read all these business books and they're telling you how to be the most productive, and they're like, you know, you should get up at 5 a.m. and you should be working from 5 to 8 because that's when, you know, no one else is up and you're your most productive. I'm like, I find in the morning, that's when, if I jump right into work,
yeah,
my entire day just feels like it's on like turbo. Like
right.
I am the same. I'll have my coffee. I kind of chill. I just sometimes look out my window. I'm like,
right. Yeah. And you know, some people like to do their breathing exercises, their, you know, meditative exercises.
Oh, I'm horrible at meditation. Horrible. am I doing this right?
Yeah. Is there a right way to do it?
I know.
But yeah, you know, whatever that, and that can look, you know, that can be a lot of different things for different people, but I just think some sort of reflective time where you just kind of relax and center yourself. Or like you said, maybe you want to go out for, you know, if you have the opportunity to go for a walk in nature. Like I said, I do find it almost has the same effect for me. So yeah.
Oh, me too. I love anytime, you know, it's forest, by water, by mountains, anything like that. It's like my body instantly goes down 10 notches.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah.
I also really believe too, you know, the question I get asked a lot too now is, even with managing stress, is just like, when do I have time to do it? And I'm like, you literally need to schedule it in. And that makes it almost sound stressful.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you start to make it more of a priority, like self-care, or, you know, I always say trying to do like exercise separate to self-care, because mm-hmm. some people are like, oh, my time is my time at the gym. But I'm like, you're still elevated during that time. You know, you're
exactly
still about the exercise you're doing. You're not necessarily having some just chill time.
Exactly. Exactly.
And even 5 minutes, like I said, even on my Fitbit, they have, this is my Fitbit. There is an actual breathing exercise on it. It's cool. There's a little heart, and
right.
it just goes for 2 minutes, and it just says follow, like inhale until the heart gets big and exhale till the heart goes small. So you're just watching it and following the breathing. It just allows you to kind of get into that rhythm.
Right. Absolutely.
So yeah. There's a ton of apps out there too, if people have a hard time to just kind of, but schedule it in, you know, like.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Schedule it in. It's so important for your mental health, and your mental health drives your physical health. So.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's stress management. The second thing is blood sugar. So
how
do we help someone who's listening? Who's like, okay, sweet. How do I balance my blood sugar?
So, I mean, you know, I know you could probably even talk about this, because I know you're a nutritionist and that's your, you know, that's your area of passion. But, you know, just by simply changing how we're building our meals, you know, so making sure we're getting enough protein, fats, and carbohydrates. Usually I tend to find people tend to be a little heavier on the carbohydrates,
yeah,
a little less protein. So we want to sort of, you know, change that, probably increase the protein, decrease the carbohydrates a little bit, and it'll help to balance out your blood sugar levels and help to make your insulin more sensitive so you can adjust to sugars coming in your body, and that will help you to lose weight. So, you know, and I think even with women with PCOS, they've done studies and they've actually shown that with these women, and just by changing their diet and adjusting their lifestyle, so they're exercising more, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of them, if they drop 5 to 10% of their body weight, will actually conceive naturally, which is kind of neat. So
and just to go on that too, even thinking about how we just talked about the stress first, because stress impacts blood sugars too, right?
So it's like, we haven't really talked about that, but your cortisol actually affects your insulin and your blood sugar. Yeah, there's a really direct correlation. Yeah,
because cortisol too, like it's always about, cortisol is basically about like keeping your blood glucose higher, isn't it?
You know, if we have increased cortisol, it tends to decrease our insulin and increase our blood sugars.
Yeah.
So if we're always in a stressful state, we're going to have more blood sugars, you know, increased blood sugars in our system. So because we have increased cortisol, that's going to decrease the progesterone and we're going to have an estrogen imbalance. So I probably should actually have a board where I can draw it out.
I love your drawing.
It's a big hot mess.
But out of all this, anyone listening, don't be stressed. Just think, I need to schedule in my walks or my reflective time or whatever it is, because not only is it just about, okay, you need to be less stressed overall, but you also, like, it's, even if you're eating great and you're stressed out, you're not going to see the results.
And if you're not sleeping well either, then that's going to affect your cortisol levels. So sleep, so just, you know, proper lifestyle is just critical. And your body, you know, I think your body knows, like, that's why some people can conceive and some people probably can't, because your body knows that this person has a lifestyle that, you know, where they could be a mother. You know, I should say that loosely, but
yeah,
you know, but the body sort of can identify that the cycles are balanced. So you would have the energy to do it. So maybe it's nature's way of, you know, but that's not our lifestyle nowadays.
And that's the thing. It's very easy for all of us to be like, okay, you know, at times, like, you know, people think because we work in this industry that we're queens of doing it, which is not true. I'm still, you know, I'm a night person and I'm still at trying to get to bed at 10 o'clock. That's my goal. Yeah. And at, you know, 11:45, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to read one more chapter of my book, or I'm just going to do one more thing on the computer. And I'm like, no, I know this is not good. Like, my mind's racing.
Yeah.
So it's always a work in progress, but we've got to do the best we can. Okay. So that was stress, blood sugar. So managing that by balancing out the proteins, the fats, and the carbohydrates. I always talk about like just having more low glycemic carbohydrates, like more of the veggies, less of the packaged processed foods. Like, just, it doesn't need to be hard. And I always talk about just when you have your plate, just make sure you've got all three. Because then if you have, a lot of people eat carbohydrates on their own, which just spikes the blood sugar so quickly.
Absolutely.
You know, have some protein and some healthy fats with that at least, and you're going to.
Yeah. And, you know, I often tell people just get a copy of a glycemic index chart. You can download them easily offline, or glycemic load chart. So it's telling you how your sugar will spike when you have a certain food. So generally you want to choose foods where your sugar doesn't spike as much. So for example, with a chocolate bar, your glycemic index is going to go through the roof. Whereas, you know, with a fruit, like say an apple or a pear, for example, yes, there's sugars in it, but it's not going to spike as much. So
yeah, because you also have the fiber to slow that down, and you have,
yeah,
you know, absolutely. You have a lot of like, and basically I love always using the example of an apple too, because it's like, that's like Mother Nature's like perfect digestible package.
It is. Yeah.
The insoluble fiber on the outside, yes. You've got the soluble fiber on the inside, and it's got all of the, you know, it basically by the time you digest it, it's already been, like half of it you won't even absorb. So it's amazing.
Right. Yeah. It's flushing your system.
Exactly. And, it's cleaning things out as it goes.
A little snack. Yeah.
Okay. So then the last thing, so we talked about, you said for natural methods, stress management, we talked about blood sugar, and then the last one's about excess estrogen.
Yeah.
So how do we start to reduce excess estrogen? Because that's the one thing I think that most people have no idea how to even begin to do that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you've talked about xenoestrogens or made any of your listeners aware.
I've talked about it in our Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss Expert. We do a whole section on hormones, and I talk a lot about it, but not on this. So I'd love for you to expand on that.
Yeah, so basically in our body has natural estrogens that we produce, everyone produces, but in our environment there are also estrogenic compounds which look very similar to estrogen. So we call these xenoestrogens. So it's not exactly the estrogen you have in the body, but it's similar enough that if you're exposed to it in your environment through your foods, through certain plastics, you know, if you're drinking out of a plastic water bottle, that's not a good quality. You have a good one.
As I'm like, this is actually my backup water bottle. This is a BPA. It's a BPA free one. However,
yeah, exactly.
I only drink out of stainless steel and I left it at the gym.
Right. But that, the Nalgene is actually a good plastic, but yeah, with the plastics, you know, if you're drinking out of those plastic water bottles that you buy at the gas station or something while you're on the go all the time, it's a cheaper type of plastic. And it's not what we call, like you said, BPH free. So there can be what we call xenoestrogens from the plastics that will leach into the water. So we actually take in these xenoestrogens. The other thing is just where we source our meats from. So, you know, unfortunately, just to make the, you know, the chickens larger, you know, they're injecting hormones into the animals. So we are actually indirectly ingesting more hormones in our system. So when we have more hormones in our system, you know, basically we're going to have a lot of extra estrogen. And we know that extra estrogen is going to contribute to weight gain and this problem of infertility because we don't have enough progesterone to balance it out so we can ovulate properly. So how do we, you know, so I guess first of all, we want to avoid those things. So avoid, you know, the plastics unless, you know, they're BPH free. We would probably want to be getting organic or farm fed meats from a local farmer, you know, where you know that there's not a lot of injections that are done. So those would be my two main things. Make sure we're drinking lots of water.
Thoughts about beauty products?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, with beauty products, you know, they're a lot of the, you know, traditional products that you use at the store, they have a lot of additives in them, like parabens and phthalates, mm-hmm. and things that are going to congest our liver, actually. And our liver is the main system by which we actually flush out hormones. So yeah, you have to be careful with the type of products that you're taking in, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you a question about that in just one second. I want you to expand on that. But the other thing about estrogen, so now I just drew a blank. We were talking about
liver, estrogen.
I know it will come back to me. We'll talk about that first and then I'll remember my other question. But okay, so when we're getting rid of this excess estrogen. Oh, I know what it is now.
Right.
I'm going to ask you about it. Sorry. Yes. Soy. This is another question all the time because we're being told at certain times soy is good for women to ingest or mm-hmm. maybe better at times for women. You should totally be avoiding it. Like, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts and what's kind of the age range, if that is true, that you mm-hmm. recommend?
Well, I think there's, you know, it's an sort of this age old controversy to have soy or not to have soy. So soy contains phytoestrogens. They're slightly different than xenoestrogens, but still it's a weaker type of estrogen than what we produce in our body. So some people will say, if you have soy, if I'm having soy and taking it in, it could actually block the estrogen receptors that are in the body and prevent your regular estrogen from binding. So basically it's helping to indirectly decrease estrogen's effect on the body. Okay. Some people will say, well, why would I want to take in more soy because I'm taking in more estrogen, even though it's a weaker type of estrogen. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of controversy about, you know, whether people with estrogen issues should have soy to block the receptors, or you just want to prevent soy altogether because we don't want to be taking in more estrogen when we already have enough. In my opinion, I would recommend definitely the fermented soy. So the fermented, you know, the GMO free organic fermented soy that you would buy probably at a health food store. It is a bit more expensive. And, you know, that's because I know that the source of it is safe. And I would say, you know, I've done a lot of reading. Again, I'm branching over to topics like breast cancer, where some women, estrogen is really relevant in these cases. Yeah. And they'll actually recommend in women with breast cancer that, you know, a half a cup of the fermented soy 3 times a week can actually block those estrogen receptors. So it is backed up by the research. You know, 2 to 3 times a week, if you had a half to 3/4 of a cup, then, you know, it's fine. But if you have it with every meal, it might be an issue. So,
well, and that's the one thing I always kind of, my stance on it too, is that I think kind of just don't drink soy milk. Avoid, yeah, like, if you're going to have it, have tempeh and things like that. But in all reality, because soy is like a filler in almost everything processed. So we're ingesting so much of it.
It's absolutely.
I think it's a little bit too much. But again, it always goes person to person, right? Like, some people react okay to soy and some people don't. But always, like, the non-GMO, it's also, you know, that's one of the biggest things.
Right.
Okay. So we're going to wrap this up because I could talk to you forever.
Perfect. Yeah.
But I always, okay, how would someone know, just before, and then I'm going to ask you one question, how would someone know if they have reached their hormone balance? Like, how would you, like, suddenly know, you're like, okay, you've been working at this, and now you're like.
Mm-hmm. I would say your blood sugars are going to start to be more balanced. You'll probably notice less hair growth. Your weight is going to start to drop. And if you're tracking your cycles, you might notice that, hey, my cycles are starting to become more regular. You might be, you know, hopefully you're ovulating in the middle of your cycle. So these are all things that I would look for.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the final question I have, and I always like to wrap up with this, because I think obviously we covered so much stuff today, and I think that all of this stuff has been so helpful in getting
maybe confusing for some people.
But the one thing I always, well, it might be confusing, but even if there's something here that you're like, whoa, that could be me, or like, I never thought of the fact of balancing my stress or looking at my diet for PCOS, like, they, a lot of people think, like I said, the only option is birth control or some sort of, you know, pharmaceutical. And it's like, there are other natural foods and lifestyle changes and supplements. Mm-hmm. We didn't really talk about supplements. Are there any supplements that you recommend? Like,
yeah, absolutely. So, so big one is Vitex or a progesterogenic supplement, chromium, to help make your insulin more sensitive in your body. Saw palmetto,
help. I've been reading more about this. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So usually, because women with PCOS tend to have more estrogen, which, you know, the estrogen is the precursor to that testosterone. They get more testosterone, but then their body can actually convert this excess testosterone into another form of testosterone, which causes hair thinning.
Okay.
So sometimes saw palmetto can actually prevent that conversion of that testosterone to that more unwanted type of testosterone.
Wow.
So, So yeah, especially if you're having issues with the hair growth or hair thinning, saw palmetto might be something to look into. And just, you know, with liver cleansing, there are a lot of liver cleansing supports. The one that I like to help your body detoxify estrogen is calcium D-glucarate. Sounds a little technical, but yeah, it helps. It's something specific that helps your liver to flush estrogen.
And could they just get that from their health food store?
Probably quite a few of the items. The calcium D-glucarate might be a little bit more difficult to source, but I'm sure you could find a liver cleanse, you know, most places. So.
Oh, and then that leads me now before I ask my final question, because now every time you answer something, I'm like, oh, I wish we could talk about that too.
Another question.
But just going back to the whole thing with the liver. So
yeah,
when estrogen leaves the body, that's why it's so important. I talk to a lot of my students about the importance of pooping.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you know, you'll see people who are doing everything right.
Yeah.
And you know, they're following this high fiber diet and they're exercising, they're meditating, all this stuff. And then, but the problem is they're constipated. Mm-hmm. And all of this work that they're doing to package up that estrogen and pull it out of the body, it's not, the poop's not coming out.
So yeah,
I understand.
Yeah. So number one thing I would recommend is probiotics. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because sometimes if you have bad bacteria in your system, even though your liver's trying to the liver initially starts that detox process. If you don't have the proper bacteria in your system, that estrogen can actually be halted in its tracks. So it doesn't really fully evacuate. So make sure that you have a proper probiotic. Make sure you're drinking lots of water. Water really critical for flushing in your system. Make sure it's alkaline water as well. So, you know, test the acidity of your water. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, which I know, I think we talked about this, is sometimes adding alkalinizing agents or bicarbonates or magnesium can really help with evacuating the bowels. So,
yeah, I found even personally TMI, well, even though I talk about poop all the time, so it doesn't really matter, magnesium for sure. Magnesium.
Yeah. Yeah. Magnesium, absolutely.
But do you recommend magnesium citrate or biglycinate? Which one do you, or bisglycinate? Which one do you?
I like both. I like the magnesium glycinate. Mm-hmm. I tend to recommend that a little bit more. It's not as harsh.
Yeah.
But I knew the citrate is well absorbed, because, you know, anything that's sort of got a citric acid component is better absorbed as well. So, but the magnesium glycinate is also well absorbed. So I like the magnesium glycinate myself.
Yeah. And I've found that is really helped. Getting stuck, because it helps relax the smooth muscles.
Relax. Yes, exactly.
Okay, awesome. Well, I do think we've covered a lot of stuff today, and I really hope whoever is listening that this has helped you. And if you, of course, have any questions or comments, you can leave it with this podcast, either underneath the video, or if you're listening to this online, you can email us at info@fitchicks.ca, and Dr. Carolyn, I'm sure, would be happy to help you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
For sure. So if somebody wants more information on you, where would they find it?
So I'm in Ottawa. So I have my own website. So www.carolynmercernd.ca. So they can find more information there.
Awesome.
And if you just Google my name, you'll probably find some information come up.
And we'll put links to your website too on with this post as well. So if anyone is looking, do you do any virtual clients?
As long as you're like in Ontario, I've talked to a few clients that are a little bit further away, but absolutely, yeah. So
awesome.
I just did a bioidentical hormone course. So, you know, sometimes the client, you know, sometimes people will see people virtually. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely this world we're living in now, right?
That
is so great though, I think, because a lot of people don't have access in their area to really great practitioners, and you are a really amazing practitioner. So,
amazing student.
Oh, okay. But so I don't want people to not be able to have access just because they don't.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. Like, if you're in Ontario, yeah, I can absolutely see, like, there's different, like, as long as I can see you face to face, as long as I feel like I can do the intake, it's not too complicated. Yeah, I can absolutely talk to you. Yeah.
So. Well, I mean, look at the way we're doing this right now.
That's so much fun.
And we're also doing it on video. So anyone who's listening to this on like iTunes or Google, we are also doing a video. So that's why we're saying, oh, look at us. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up. But if I would like to end this with a question.
Yeah.
And it could be about what we talked about today or about your craft. But if you could give one piece of life advice to women to help them live fiercer, happier, healthier, what would it be?
You know, and I think this has probably been said, but it just really resonates with me at this point in time. But just follow your truth and, you know, trust your intuition. Make sure you listen to yourself, you know, like trust your gut instincts and follow your truth.
Oh, I love it.
Yes.
It's so interesting how the innate knowledge that we have and how so many times we don't allow ourselves to tap into it.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. And that could be the path for the best healing possible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Carolyn. And for everybody listening, of course, you can get more information at fitchixacademy.com. All of Dr. Carolyn's information will be posted there. We also have upcoming two of our certification programs, our Fitness and Nutrition Expert certification starting September the 26th, and our Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss, our Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss Expert starting on October 16th. So all information on that is on the website. And if you guys have any topics you want us to talk about on the podcast, leave it in the comments, and we would love to make sure that we're providing you with that information. Okay, perfect. Guys, have an amazing day. Thanks, Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.